In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Since the war in Iraq, we've heard a lot in the news about armor. We went in there, and the invasion went fairly smoothly. It almost looked like, you know, military genius was behind the whole thing. It went so well with such a small number of troops. But then the insurgency began to kick into high gear, and we had hundreds and eventually thousands of troops that were killed, many of them killed because of a lack of armor. And we might have thought that we were so high-tech that we were way beyond the need for armor, but armor has long been an essential part of a soldier's gear, and it's foolish to go out without it. If you were in Iraq right now and you were going into an area where you knew there was a likelihood that you might be attacked, you would have on body armor, and you'd want to be in an armored vehicle, and you'd want to have any other kind of protection that you could, because you wouldn't want to expose yourself to injury, because the human body is a very delicate and easily injured thing. We're very fragile, although we don't realize it until we actually have an injury, but injuries happen a lot more easily than we might like to think. And so soldiers, for as long as anyone can remember, have had armor when they've gone into battle. And St. Paul, in the second epistle that we heard this morning, talks about the armor that we as Christians are supposed to be wearing as we go into spiritual battle. And it's something that every day we should be putting on this armor. We should never step out of even our beds without arming ourselves with the sign of the cross and beginning to prepare ourselves against the battle that will await us the rest of the day. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." It's God who's our strength. How do we become strong in the Lord? We become strong in the Lord when we put on the armor that St. Paul is talking about. This is the introductory phrase of the passage. But the important thing to remember is that we cannot win in our own strength. We think because we're smart or because we're tough, or because we can pray longer than other people, that we're somehow, by our own merits, our own abilities, going to be able to overcome the wiles of the devil, we're fools. Our strength comes from the Lord, and we have to always remember that. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. St. John Chrysostom points out the devil never attacks us directly. He always presents us with a temptation that's packaged in such a way that there's at least some plausibility to it that we might be able to justify, some way that we can excuse ourselves for doing. It's very rare that there is the full frontal assault where we just are presented, "Here's sin, why don't you come over to the dark side," and then you do it. It's usually some way that we deceive ourselves and we allow ourselves to be deceived by the devil. But when we put on the armor of God, we're protecting ourselves against that deception. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." St. Paul elsewhere talks about the devil as the prince and the power of the air. When he talks about spiritual wickedness in high places, what he's referring to, or heavenly places, it's sometimes translated, he's talking about the fact that the air is the realm in which demons exist. They don't exist in heaven. They're not in the presence of God. They exist in the air. And the reality of demons is something that we should not allow ourselves to be kidded about. A lot of people now, they think that we've reached a level of technology and scientific knowledge where we know that there are no such things as demons. But if you think about how it is that someone could know that, the question has to be asked, well, how did technology discover this? Is there some sort of a scope that they've developed where they're able to look into the spiritual realm and see, yes, there are no demons, we've proved it? It's somewhat like the Soviet cosmonauts, who actually, as it turns out, were misquoted by the communists, but they were allegedly quoted as saying, after they orbited the Earth, "We have searched the heavens and discovered that there is no God." After just traveling around the Earth a few times, somehow they've exhausted all the possibilities of the universe and they've proven that there is no God. Well, with our little technology, we have not proven that demons don't exist. Demons are a spiritual reality, as are angels. In the Creed, we confess that God is the maker of all things visible and invisible. And so for an Orthodox Christian, the idea of dismissing demons as a reality is not something that we can accept. But there is an invisible creation, invisible to us, but nonetheless real, and demons are a reality. And we have to be aware of that fact. Of course, elsewhere the fathers talk about how we fight against the world, which is sort of the fallen system of the world, the flesh, which is our own passions, and the devil. So the demons are one part of a triumvirate that wage war against us. But so it's not all demons, and when we give into sin, we can't say the devil made me do it, because we made our choice. We're not controlled by demons. And often it's our flesh that's giving in more readily than the demons are tricking us. But nevertheless, the demons are a reality that we can't dismiss. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The evil day that St. Paul is talking about is this present life, anytime we're confronted with a temptation. And standing firm is one of the most fundamental requirements of a soldier, particularly in ancient warfare, where you had an army that would stand out in an open field, and they would be there with their swords and their shields and their spears, and they would face another army, and these armies would meet and they would clash. If one army lost its nerve and it turned tail and ran, they were defeated. Their backs were exposed, and they were chased and hunted down the rest of the day until sunset. And that's how armies lost battles, is when they lost their nerve and they turned tail and ran. And when you read the history of warfare, you'll see that many battles hinge on whether someone had the nerve to inspire an army to stand firm, even in the face of what appeared to be defeat, and to not give its ground, and to face the enemy, and they were able to turn the tide of the battle. Well, we as Christians are to be like that brave soldier that doesn't yield, that doesn't turn tail and run, but faces the enemy and doesn't give in. Stand, therefore, having girt your loins about with truth. I've talked before about what the scriptures refer to when they talk about girding your loins. People wore cloaks. They didn't have pants back in those days. And when they would gird their loins, they would take their cloak and they would tuck it into their belt so that their legs were free to move. And St. John Chrysostom talks about how the belt of truth keeps that which is loose, the stray things in our life, the passions in check, and keeps us from being tripped by these things. And what is it when we sin? We're giving in to falsehood. We're giving in to deception. But when we gird ourselves with the belt of truth, we are guarding ourselves against that. We are not allowing those things to trip us up or to hinder us. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Human beings present a pretty big target in a battle, and a breastplate was a key piece of armor, because without a breastplate, a well-placed arrow would take you out. A sword attack towards your torso would take you out immediately. But with a breastplate, you were guarding your most vital organs. And righteousness, living the righteous life, will guard us against any of the temptations or the attacks of the devil. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A soldier's footwear is what enables him to move around without slipping. And for the Christian, that is the gospel of peace. It's our lives lived according to the gospel. It's when we walk the walk of the gospel and not just talk the talk. And we live our lives not just according to the gospel, but for the purposes of the gospel, with the goal of spreading the gospel, of bringing the love of Christ to those around us. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In the warfare of this time, tipping an arrow with pitch and lighting it and shooting it to your enemy was a very deadly method of attack. And the kind of shield that St. Paul is referring to is not the little round shields that you might see a gladiator wear in some of the movies, but it was the very large, rectangular-shaped shield that soldiers who were in a phalanx would all hold. And one thing that's interesting about these shields is the most effective way that they were used is when all the soldiers in a line would hold their shields together and they would make a wall against the enemy. And St. Paul talks about this as the shield of faith. And one thing that's interesting about that is it's not just our faith, but it's the faith of those around us. St. Paul in the Epistle to Hebrews says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some." We as Christians do not live, generally speaking, as solitaries. Even monastics, only the very most experienced monastics, are given a blessing to live the life of a hermit, because it's the most difficult way of living for a Christian, because you don't have the support of your fellow believers. And so for us here that are not aspiring to be St. Anthony the Great or anywhere near that level of piety, we need the support not just of our own faith, but of the faith of those that are around us to guard us against the enemy. And the Roman soldiers of that day, the reason why Rome was able to conquer so much of the world was because not just they had good armor, not just that they had good swords or they had brave soldiers, but that they had mastered the tactics of having soldiers march as a unit and fight as a unit. And they would literally mow down their enemies because they would march across a field with their shields moving forward step by step and their swords poking at the person in front of them. And they would just move like a machine across the field and literally mow down their opponents. And we as Christians, if we support one another, if we put on the armor of God, and if we stand firm and are strong in the might of the Lord, are invincible against the powers of the devil. And that's all if. That's if we do these things. And take the helmet of salvation. Christ is our head and our salvation. And the helmet is what protects a soldier's senses, particularly the eyes, St. Jerome says. The salvation, the grace of God, guards the gate of our eyes. It reminds us to not set evil things before us, to not allow these things to enter into our thought life. And that's a key element that we, in our day particularly, all too often don't avail ourselves to. We're constantly exposing ourselves to filth and temptations. We're listening to music that's not edifying. All these things have an effect. All these things create a mindset in our minds that is contrary to the Christian faith, and then we wonder why we struggle. We wonder why we're not victorious as Christians. Well, we need to guard ourselves against these things. And finally, he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I talked about this last week in greater detail, so I won't talk about it a lot here today. But the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is when we, A, know the Scriptures, which means we take the time to study them, to read them, to listen to them, to listen to instruction on the Scriptures, and when we also put it into practice. All of these things we should be doing on a regular basis. We should not be going into the day not having armed ourselves, not having the sword of the Spirit ready at hand, which is we're only going to be skillful in our use of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, when we are regularly reading it, when we're regularly allowing that the Holy Scriptures to instruct us, to mold our minds and to shape our hearts in a way that is pleasing to God. If we do all these things, then we'll be invincible against the enemy and we'll be able to stand in the evil day. Amen.